Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
President Donald J. Trump declaring this public safety emergency in D.C., citing a lot of the crime stats and the culture of crime. The cash bail situation, no cash bail. A lot of these themes, if you think about it, after post-pandemic, post-defund the police movement, etc., post the summer of 2020, a lot of these themes are relatable across the nation. And so President Trump saying enough is enough. The federal authorities, because they're declaring an emergency, are taking over the police. What struck me, and you can let me know what strikes you, and as well our great executive producer Dan Borowski, Jimmy Kelly's our engineer, and your take on this, 855-839-1210. But what strikes me, Dan and I were talking about this over the commercial break, is that Trump mentions how small they are in D.C., relatively about 61 square miles of land, saying that they have 3,500 police officers there. So thinking about Philadelphia, let's just compare, and there's no comparison. We're well over double the size, about 142 plus square miles here in Philadelphia, much larger metro area. And then you think about our regular police force is about 6,300-ish. We're supposed to be at 6,500, but we're down at least 1,200. So you think about that with this vacancy going on. What does that mean? It means that basically we're, give or take, only about 600 cops more than in D.C. Think about that. How we are left bare and how tough that is on our law enforcement here with Philadelphia Police. I know that there's a huge recruitment effort. Mayor Sherelle Parker, obviously Commissioner Bethel, they're doing a hard push to fund the hire of 400 new officers now within the new fiscal year, and that they've hired about 369 just looking at the numbers. But think about this. You have to train these officers properly, and you cannot skimp on that. And so when you think about how far we're down, I think if I'm Pat Dugan, who, as you know, is today filing again as the new, he's challenging incumbent DA, District Attorney Larry Krasner on the Democrat side. Dugan, longtime judge, lifetime Democrat, now is going to put an R behind his name, run as a Republican, being pushed by this and supported. But by all accounts, does Dugan have a chance? If I'm Pat Dugan, I'm just going to be transparent. I'm going to go out there and say, you know what, guys? Republicans are backing me. I've never been a Republican. You know that. I'm a Democrat. That's who I am in Philadelphia. But at this point, we're desperate. Just go out there and try to change the game, change the conversation, and force change within the Democrat Party and within the incumbent party. That's really all you can do, is to be an antagonist and go out in the communities, speak where you can, and say, I know you're probably not going to vote for me. In all seriousness, it's almost like the remember Conan O'Brien way back when he just sucked and he was so horrible. Remember this? It's almost that. It's like the I suck Conan O'Brien era where he and Andy, remember his, little sidekick? And they actually became popular because they just said, we know we suck and we know we don't have a chance. So we're just going to go out there and do everything we can. Remember this? And then they became hugely popular and it was a big comeback. That's what a Republican running for DA in Philadelphia, that's my best advice I can give to you, is just to go out there and tell people, I know Republicans in Philadelphia suck. We have, besides, I'm not talking about Joe Picozzi because I think he's an outlier, but seriously, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And it's all for the best and right reasons to say, here in Philadelphia, you deserve better. Your schools suck. You don't even have HVAC. You have a teacher shortage. You suck. You don't even have school buses if you're in high school like the suburban kids. Isn't that racist? You suck. It's the You Suck campaign, and we as Republicans suck because we have failed you. We as Republicans have not been here for you, Philadelphia. So, yeah, Pat Dugan, stand on a corner and tell Philadelphians why Republicans suck. D.A. Krasner and the Democrats suck. the schools suck, the security sucks, and you deserve better. It's the We Suck campaign,
I love it.
And you deserve better. We have failed you. I'm serious. Just make it and say, we have failed you, all of us. And you know what? Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, we suck because we have failed you. We have failed our children. We have failed everybody. We suck. It's the We Suck campaign.
You know, I think you're onto something here, because in 2025, I think politicians are the only ones who don't realize that people just want pure honesty. If you screwed up, just say you screwed up. And I think there's nothing more than Philadelphians want right now than for someone to just come out here and say, you suck.
Yeah. And we suck. I mean, I'm putting all of us, we should not tolerate this. We should not tolerate that our schools are failing our kids. We should not tolerate that our schools don't have a safe ride to school like everybody else in the country has the little yellow school bus, and a huge amount of our kids do not have that. That's wrong. That's not right. And so just go from there. The fact that we had, you know, what we had during the pandemic with everything shut down. But I think, you know, for the DA, for District Attorney Larry Krasner, and I would say, Mr. DA, Mr. Krasner, come here, talk about it, have the conversation. I suspect Krasner would say, it's true that we have failed the people of Philadelphia. We have in our city, all of us. We cannot, we have to have zero tolerance for crime. But for Krasner to continually hold, and city officials even, to hold news conferences and say, well, we have less crime or we have less murder.
Sure.
My God, look at the level of crime and murder and mayhem and rape. And the fact that we are discouraging people to come into the city, I can't get, especially a female relative, to meet me in the city. I had a relative, I had her there. She was going to, actually one of my sons was going to meet us. So it'd be, you know, better security. And it was actually at the Weizmann, at the Jewish Museum. And she just wanted to show some support, right? And take the kids, go to the museum. Kids are out of school. And then she decided with all the crime, we're going to put that off. That's how sad it is. And so when you think about businesses suffering, shopping, all the stuff we used to do in our beautiful, and we have a beautiful city here in Philadelphia.
So
we
beautiful.
Should be a number one destination worldwide.
To your point, I'll reveal where I was this past week, Dawn. Okay. On my special assignment, I was on a, I hate to use the phrase, baby moon to a degree. Half my trip was a baby moon. The other half was visiting my brother and sister. But I spoke briefly about it, but we went up to Boston. And Boston, a city that's so similar to Philadelphia, but they've taken their money, their tax income, they've reinvested it on their waterfront. They've moved their highways underground. And Dawn, there's no trash on the streets. We saw hardly any homeless people. There was a story about Beacon Hill being overrun with homeless people. I said, go to Kensington and get back to me.
All right, I don't want to hear about Boston.
That's what I'm saying is we have such an opportunity. Our city is 10 times more beautiful than Boston. It looks similar. It's bigger. But we can't get our stuff together to offer what Boston's able to offer. Clean streets.
They're not better than us.
No, they're not. And that's what I'm trying to say is we have opportunity here and we should be better. Mm-hmm. But you know what? No, you know what I would say? Right now we're not. Because you can go walk the streets and not have to worry about kicking a syringe out of the way. I'm sick of the state of Philadelphia. You walk through Center City, you walk through Rittenhouse Square, it's not clean. It's not welcoming to tourists.
Yeah, and so I will say this about with Philadelphia in the Chestnut Hill section of Philadelphia and right down by Independence Hall, that area, I don't see a lot of trash. I don't see a lot of dirt. I will give credit where credit's due. The trash cams, believe it or not, I have seen a difference where they have those cameras. I'm trying to say something positive here, okay? but the real problem here, and I even hesitate. I mean, sometimes law enforcement says, don't talk about the fact that we're down. So the official word is we're down about 1,200 officers. It's more than that. I can tell you that, right? And the retirements. Because if you talk to a cop in Philadelphia, they're saying, I can't wait. I can't wait to retire. And do you blame them? Especially because we're down and the way that they're treated. And think about what Trump just said. Trump just said, I've got your back. to these officers where somebody's spitting in your face. You think about all the diseases, by the way, that you can contract when somebody spits in your face, right? Into your eyes, blood vessels, hello. And so Trump is saying, no tolerance anymore. This is not going to happen. And so I just have to wonder if that kind of theme to say, we want law enforcement, we want you to want to be hired in Philadelphia to come keep, you know, come here, protect and serve. We've got your back. But would that do the trick as far as bringing back Philadelphia? So we'll take a quick break, get your thoughts. I know that in this huge news conference that President Trump, this is unprecedented. It is historic once again to look at this differently and say, zero tolerance. We are going to make our streets safe again for our families, for our children, and yes, for visitors too, but especially in your neighborhood. And by the way, if you live in the city, if you live in D.C. and you're or in Philadelphia or in Chicago or New York or wherever, how do you push back on this? How do you? Now, I know D.C.'s mayor is already out there and she's saying, oh, no, nothing to see here. We don't need this. We already have lower crime. Can you imagine living there and having your mayor say that? See, I don't think Mayor Sherelle Parker would ever say such a thing. I don't. I think she's smarter than that. I think she's smarter and better than all these other mayors. I'll stand behind our mayor. I'll double down and say she's better than New York's, Chicago, D.C. in particular, as well as Commissioner Bethel. So hopefully we've got that going for us, which is nice. All right, quick break. We do have Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith around the corner too. Be right back. The breaking news of the hour, and this is historic. President Donald J. Trump holding this live news conference, talking about bringing back law and order, saying he's the law and order president, and declaring a state of emergency for Washington, D.C., and a public safety emergency, saying the feds are taking over and they'll bring in the military if necessary. That's an important if, but if necessary, thinking about the National Guard to take over and make D.C. great again. Pam Bondi, AG speaking out, SecDef, Pete Hegseth, and I know Judge Jerene Pirro, U.S. Attorney, obviously, of D.C. there. She also is speaking or expected to speak as well. So we'll get to all of it, but we do have our friend, the National Police Association. This is Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. Obviously, somebody who is an expert, somebody who's worked her way up through the ranks of local law enforcement and now with the National Police. But just your take. Hi, Betsy. Just your take on what Trump is saying.
Wow. Could you hear me cheering, standing and cheering in front of my TV? I love this so much. Well, you know what the president had to say and really what everybody in this press conference, including our friend Will Scharf. You know, he's the guy that explains all the executive orders, but, you know, he was a prosecutor and friend of law enforcement. It's just so exciting. You know, here's the thing. He started by talking about law enforcement and he said, you know, if you, I love this line. We're going to hear a lot about it all day. If you spit, we hit. In other words, cops are tired of being abused. And he went on to talk about, you know, what a disaster no cash bail is. And I think this is a good plan, you know, and I know for all the people who are going to say, oh, the federal government can't take over a local police department. The federal government controls local law enforcement, especially in large cities. They've done this for decades through federal consent decrees. So this is just going to be 30 days of really the military, federal law enforcement, and the federal judiciary taking control of the D.C. Metro Police Department so they can prosecute the bad guys. This is what people don't understand. You and I have talked about this a million times. We can arrest everybody, every bad guy on the planet, but if there's not proper prosecution, it's all for naught. And I think we're going to see the tide change now, thanks to these executive orders.
And so my question to you is, how does that culture, if you will, of policing when community, because I imagine, you know, he's talking about, for example, some of the people in tourist areas as well as neighborhoods. But how do you say this is a bad thing to families here in Philadelphia or Chicago or New York. I mean, I think of here in Philadelphia putting out all the rewards for these thugs just opening fire in neighborhoods, little kids being rushed to children's hospital. How does anybody say it's a bad culture to have law and order and make the community safer? So do you think it'll promote this culture of safety across the country in big cities like Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, etc.?
Well, I hope that it does, because what Trump is showing is that we can reverse this vilification and demonization of law enforcement that you and I have been talking about for 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is the thing. What he does in D.C., I think you're right. I think it's going to show people in other large blue cities that there is hope, because it's really, you know, even though, you know, crime is going down nationally, but in so many of these cities, we're seeing shootings remain high, murders remain high. And so I think that President Trump is showing that there's a national concern, and he's using language, and so is Jeanine Pirro, like you just did, calling them out, calling them thugs, mm-hmm. telling them that, you know, we're not coddling criminals anymore. And I think what that'll do is that's going to give other prosecutors kind of permission mm-hmm. to stop this mollycoddling of criminals and talking about them, you know, oh, well, if only we could get them a job and they could go to college and this and that, they won't be criminals. Being a criminal is a choice, and you make that choice regardless of education. And, you know, the people that are you know, are robbing people on buses in D.C., they're not stealing loaves of bread so they can eat. You know, yeah. This is gang activity. It's criminal activity. It's sexual depravity. It's illegal aliens. It's all the above. And I think it changes today.
I also think, you know, when we think about, and you use the word coddling, it's a great word, whether it's, you know, suburban, like college kids or teenagers that we're tending to coddle and embolden, and we see them on social media going off on some rant and feeling entitled, or whether it's in the city of Philadelphia, and we see even grandparents. Recently, we saw some grandparents coming out and saying, you know, my grandson lives with me, and that he's on drugs or he's in a gang. And we have a lot of domestics, this sense of entitlement with regard to, you know, taking advantage, whether that means financial advantage of grandparents and parents. It seems to be across the country, whether I'm looking at different socioeconomic groups, there's a real theme here. And I wonder if in part it's saying no to all of this coddling of younger generations and reverting back to what it used to be, which is, hey, you guys are supposed to take care of the older generations, not the other way around. Do you see that as something that's a conversation that's beginning to happen?
I think it is, because really for at least a decade, we have seen this, especially in the suburbs. You know, we hear so often, you know, oh, people commit crimes because they're poor. That's such an insult mm-hmm. to poor people.
Yes.
Just because you're poor doesn't mean you're going to be a criminal. And just because you live in a wealthy suburb doesn't mean you're not.
Yes.
And we see this. You know, I was a cop in a very wealthy suburb, and we would see that parents would call 911 because little Johnny didn't want to go to school. And there was all these domestic disputes and this and that. And I think in general, you know, we're seeing, you know, because you hear this, because my kids are all now parents, and you hear this, oh, we're going to do gentle parenting. Yeah, my kids are not doing that. We're not going to gentle parent. Because what does that create? The exact circumstance you're talking about, where kids are disrespectful, they use drugs, and, you know, of course, there's so much more to this. There's social media and all that. But there's just a general lack of respect for people in authority. It's okay to be a kid and have people tell you what to do, to have authority. And that's exactly what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now. President Trump, he's going to kind of be the daddy, right? He gets called the daddy all the time. He's going to be the daddy in D.C. And we're not going to do gentle parenting in Washington, D.C. We're going to take back our capital so that people like you and I, so that I can take my grandkids to D.C., mm-hmm. you know, safely on vacation, show them up our beautiful capital, talk to them about the founding. Everybody should have the right to do that and do it safely.
Yeah, well said. I'm glad you like the daddy comment, too, because some it depends on who you ask. But we loved that news. Dan Borowski and I had so much fun with it.
He called you daddy earlier.
It was my favorite thing. Crack me up. But in truth, isn't it hard to argue with it? And then does it help to refund the police? Like here in Philadelphia, I was going through some of the numbers when he said they have 3,500 in small D.C. here in Philadelphia. I mean, I don't have to tell you, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, National Police Association. I mean, the numbers, we are down and we are dwindling with cops who want to retire. So does this, I don't know, help with police recruitment?
Oh, it absolutely does. And we're hearing this around the country from police officers. You know, we're still out there training and all that. And we're hearing from the officers in charge of the recruitment that similar to the military, we're starting to see recruitment numbers rise. But it depends on where mm-hmm. and it depends on who's the prosecutor.
Yes.
And, you know, so, for example, you guys, that's an issue because, again, you know, who are our best recruiters? Other cops.
Yeah.
And when you have police officers telling young people, especially young relatives, young people they care about or come in contact with, you know, God, don't be a cop here because you're likely to be put in prison by our crazy prosecutor.
Right.
And that happens all around the country. So we still have that. We still have kind of a hangover from 2020 and 2021 in law enforcement when it comes to recruitment numbers. I think what happened today and the conversation that's going to follow is going to help a lot. I guarantee every cop in this country stood up and cheered when they heard that, you know, you spit, we hit. Because what it does is it tells people that cops don't have to take it mm-hmm. anymore. And, of course, it doesn't mean we want police brutality. But spitting on someone is one of them. I've been spit on, and those people went to jail. But that doesn't happen much anymore. And it's a crime. It's a felony in most states. And so the president was talking about, hey, we're going to go back to enforcing the law when cops are victims as well as our citizens. Who could argue with that?
You know what? Let's listen in. Dan has that piece of audio that you referenced.
True, and you saw that the Navy Yard. I saw it this morning. They saw that they fought back against. So see, they fight back until you knock the hell out of them because it's the only language they understand. But they fought back against law enforcement last night. And they're not going to be fighting back long because I've instructed them and told them whatever happens, you know, they love to spit in the face of the police as the police are standing up there in uniform. They're standing and they're screaming at them an inch away from their face. And then they start spitting in their face. And I said, you tell them, you spit and we hit. And they can hit real hard.
See, and Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, I love that you said it best. He's the D.C. daddy. And daddy says no more. And I just have to wonder if the fact that he's laying down this law, that right here he draws the line, I imagine things get better just with Trump coming out with this forceful, you know, very loud news conference and the new directive.
Absolutely. When, you know, people know in places like Washington, D.C., especially people under the age of 18, that I can do whatever I want. And not much is going to happen to me. So that's one of the things. And Judge Pirro talked about this, that, you know, federally, it's difficult to be able to touch a juvenile. Now that's going to change. If we can, you know, bring them in to federal court, try them as adults, things like that. And remember, this helps young people, too. A lot of young people, 12, 13, 14, get taken advantage by adult gangbangers. And we also have to, we've got to acknowledge the multi-generational gang family. It's just time to recognize the fact that just, you know, a 15-year-old who commits a violent felony and is a member of a street gang, we can't just send them home because likely mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, they're all in the same gang. We've got to, it's time to recognize that. And we've got to go back to talking about street gangs.
Here's Judge Jeanine Pirro moments ago.
I see too much violent crime being committed by young punks who think that they can get together in gangs and crews and beat the hell out of you or anyone else. They don't care where they are. They can be in DuPont Circle, but they know that we can't touch them. Why? Because the laws are weak. I can't touch you if you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old and you have a gun. I convict someone of shooting another person with an illegal gun on a public bus in the chest, intent to kill. I convict him. And you know what the judge gives him? Probation. Says you should go to college. We need to go after the D.C. Council and their absurd laws. We need to get rid of this concept of, you know, no cash bail. We need to recognize that the people who matter are the law-abiding citizens, and it starts today.
That from U.S. Attorney of D.C., Judge Jeanine Pirro. Yeah, she's great. It, you know, for you at the National Police Association, is it something where you're training cops differently? Because I know that's a piece of it, educating, you know, educating supporters of law enforcement, but as well, when you do some of your educational sessions, have you changed anything as far as preparing police to deal with some of these attitudes of being, you know, spat upon or yelled at, you know, somebody yelling, screaming an inch from their face?
Well, absolutely. The National Police Association is involved in training, but my husband and I are on the other end of our business. Okay. And absolutely. And we've been doing this for decades, talking about things like de-escalation. You know, none of that's new. But, you know, cops now, and we talk about this in our classes, depending on where we are in the country, are they going to get prosecuted for the way they respond? And this is top of mind for cops in this country, which is terrible. You know, they're already out there thinking, you know, well, okay, what happens if I get hurt, if I get shot, if I have to shoot somebody? And it's, you know, not just worrying about things like that. It's worrying about, am I going to go to prison because I've got some Soros prosecutor in my county who'd rather see me in jail? And we also have attorney generals that are trying to do the same thing. The attorney general in New Mexico is just an absolute cop-hating scumbag who just wants to put cops in prison, and that's mostly what he does. This has got to stop. So that's why, you know, I'm not a big person who says, oh, let the federal government take over everything, but we've got to rein in some of the mistakes, the horrible mistakes made in the last 5 years. And so that's why the federal government's got to step in.
Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, nationalpolice.org. NPA also defends law enforcement agencies. Head to nationalpolice.org and please get educated, donate. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. Betsy, thanks a million for coming on. I always, you know, I just want you to preach. I'm sitting there, preach. I love it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Don.
Oh, 100%, all the time. We will take a quick break, get some of your thoughts. We have more developing. Trump right now, by the way, is taking a little bit of Q&A, it looks like. So we'll get to those highlights of some of the reporters' questions. No doubt I'll say, that's a stupid question. How many of those do you think happen? We'll get to all of it. You're not missing a thing. Thanks for being here today. And if you're joining me on YouTube, I see you. Thank you. Push the like button and subscribe. And by the way, this summer, Piazza Mazda brings you more to move you. More style, more thrills, more savings. For a limited time right now, you get 1.9% financing for 60 months on the award-winning Mazda CX-50, CX-50 Hybrid, CX-70 or CX-90. So just 1.9% financing, wow, plus available low lease offers, more. Don't wait. Discover how Mazda has more to move you today. Do it. Visit Piazza Mazda of Westchester on Route 202 or Piazza Mazda of Reading on Pottsville Pike. Online, just go online, piazzamazda.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, piazzaautogroup.com. Tell them Dolan sent you.
China tariff deadline is tonight, but do you plan to extend that?
Paying to the United States of America, and we'll see what happens. They've been dealing quite nicely. The relationship is very good with President Xi and myself.
You mentioned your upcoming meeting with President Putin. Yeah. Tell us what you hope to get out of that and whether you'll consider inviting President Zelensky to join.
So you have to understand, this is a war that should have never happened. This is a war that wouldn't have happened if I were president. Would have never happened. It was the apple of his eye. I got along very well with President Putin. But if you look, under President Bush, they took a lot of territory. Under President Obama, they took a lot of territory. Under Biden, they essentially took the whole thing. You know, just a question of time. Under Trump, you know what they took? Nothing. Nothing. I was the one that said, you can't build your pipeline that was half built. I came in. I stopped the pipeline. It's called Nord Stream 2. Nobody knows that. You know, nobody ever heard of Nord Stream 2. You might have not even heard of it. Biggest pipeline in the world. I stopped it. I was not a friend of Russia, but I got along well with Putin. It's always good to get along with other countries if possible. But that doesn't mean you roll over like Biden did. Biden came in and he immediately approved the pipeline. I couldn't believe it. Then they say Trump wasn't tough on Russia. I wasn't tough. I was the toughest. Putin said, if you're not tough, I would hate like hell to see you visit. I stopped the biggest economic development job, the biggest job that Russia had ever built. I stopped it. It was dead. And this low IQ president came in and he let them build the pipeline and supply oil and gas all over Europe, you know. So this is really a feel out meeting a little bit. And President Putin invited me to get involved. He wants to get involved. I believe he wants to get it over with. Now, I've said that a few times, and I've been disappointed because I'd have like a great call with him, and then missiles would be lobbed into Kiev or some other place, and you'd have 60 people laying on a road dying. I said, that's cold. But it's a violent war. 5,000 to 7,000 people a week are dying. And, you know, there's nobody from here. They're all Russian and Ukrainian people and some people from the cities, much smaller number. But still, those missiles do damage and they kill a lot of people, but mostly soldiers. And they're young soldiers, although in the case of Ukraine, they're getting much older. They're drafting 60-year-olds now. It's a terrible thing to witness. And I think I have an obligation. Look, this is Joe Biden's war. This is not my war. I made a deal with NATO a month ago. You covered it very accurately, actually. We don't pay anything anymore. You know, we're not paying anything. They are buying things from us, and NATO is paying us. I got it raised from 2% of GDP to 5%. And they're paying us for everything that we send. We're not paying. But Biden approved $350 billion. Europe has spent $100 billion. The money that's been spent and the death is incredible. It's the worst thing that's happened, by far the worst that's happened since World War II. So I'm going in to speak to Vladimir Putin, and I'm going to be telling him, you got to end this war. You got to end it. And he wasn't going to mess with me. This war would have never happened. You know, we had a discussion about it one time, and we never had that discussion again. Would have never happened. And when the election was rigged, and then Biden took office, barely took office. The auto pen took office. Bad things started happening. Bad things, stupid things were said. And it ended up in a war. And you know, and I don't believe this will happen anymore because I have that pretty well covered. This could end up in a third world war. This could have been a third world war. I don't think that's going to happen now. But I thought it was very respectful that the president of Russia is coming to our country as opposed to us going to his country or even a third-party place. But I think we'll have constructive conversations. Then after that meeting, immediately, maybe as I'm flying out, maybe as I'm leaving the room, I'll be calling the European leaders who I get along with very well. And, you know, I have a great relationship, I think, with all of them. And I get along with Zelensky, but, you know, I disagree with what he's done. Very, very severely disagree. This is a war that should have never happened, wouldn't have happened. But I'll be speaking to Zelensky. The next meeting will be with Zelensky and Putin, or Zelensky and Putin and me. I'll be there if they need. But I want to have a meeting set up between the two leaders. I was a little bothered by the fact that Zelensky was saying, well, I have to get constitutional approval. I mean, he's got approval to go into war and kill everybody, but he needs approval to do a land swap, because there'll be some land swapping going on. I know that through Russia and through conversations with everybody to the good, for the good of Ukraine. Good stuff, not bad stuff. Also, some bad stuff for both. So there's good and there's bad. But it's very complex because you have lines that are very uneven. And there'll be some swapping. There'll be some changes in land. And the word that they will use is, you know, they make changes. We're going to change the lines, the battle lines. Russia's occupied a big portion of Ukraine. They've occupied some very prime territory. We're going to try and get some of that territory back for Ukraine. But they've taken some very prime territory. They've taken largely ocean. You know, in real estate, we call it oceanfront property. That's always the most valuable property.
Which is also,
if you're in a lake, a river, or an ocean,
strategic. It's
always the best property. Yeah. Well, Ukraine, a lot of people don't know that Ukraine was largely 1,000 miles of ocean. That's gone. Other than one small area, Odessa. It's a small area. There's just a little bit of water left. So I'm going to go and see the parameters. Now, I may leave and say good luck, and that'll be the end. I may say this is not going to be settled. I mean, there are those that believe that Putin wanted all of Ukraine. I happen to be one of them, by the way. I think if it weren't for me, he would not be even talking to anybody else right now. But I'm going to meet with him. We're going to see what the parameters are. I'm then going to call up President Zelensky and the European leaders. Right after the meeting, yeah. And I'm going to tell them what kind of a deal. I'm not going to make a deal. It's not up to me to make a deal. I think a deal should be made for both. I think Russia has to get back into building their country. It's a massive country. I think they have 11 time zones, if you can believe it. It's a massive, it's by far, from the standpoint of land, it's by far the largest. They have tremendous potential in Russia to do well. They're not doing well. Their economy is not doing well right now because it's been very well disturbed by this. It doesn't help when the president of the United States tells their largest or second largest oil buyer that we're putting a 50% tariff on you if you buy oil from Russia. That was a big blow. And then they say, gee, he wasn't so tough. Nobody else would have done that. And I haven't stopped there. I mean, look, I was all set to do things far bigger than that. But I got a call that they'd like to meet. And I'm going to see what they want to meet about. I'd like to see a ceasefire. I'd like to see the best deal that could be made for both parties. You know, it takes two to tango, right? So ultimately, I'll have a meeting next week. I had a great relationship with him, considering the fact that, you know, I was not nice to him because of the pipeline. I ended the pipeline. I also gave the javelins. You know? Do you ever hear of a javelin? Javelin is called a tank buster. They say that Obama gave them sheets and I gave them javelins. If it weren't for me, all those tanks that were destroyed at the first days of the war because the tanks got stuck in the mud, some commander made a better state. You know, they would have been in Kiev in 4 hours.
That was President Donald J. Trump answering reporter questions. You heard Fox's Peter Doocy asking a lot of those questions. So he's speaking about this historic Trump-Putin summit coming up this Friday in Alaska and pushing for peace using the power of the U.S. on an economic front, consumer front, and putting out the branch to say, join us worldwide in peace and prosperity. Look at all the potential of your beautiful country, Russia. So hopefully that he can speak the language of peace and prosperity and convince Putin. And then Zelensky as well. We'll continue on. Thanks for being here today. 855-839-1210, the @DawnStensland Show. Be right back. President Trump holding court, if you will, in D.C., many of his cabinet members and many of those who he relies on, especially when it comes to thinking about crime safety. You've got Pam Bondi there, Judge Jeanine Pirro. You've got the SecDef head Seth, and as well,
it's hard
Cash
to say
Patel.
That, isn't it?
I know. Sorry.
SecDef head Seth.
Yeah, say that 10 times fast.
No, it's not just you.
Headlines from Trump, quote, if our capital is dirty, our whole country is dirty. Man, that's a good quote. Dirty. And then the other one is that, and this just minutes ago, Trump said Zelensky was not invited to the Putin meeting on Friday. I'm telling you, it's like
Volodymyr Zelensky is not invited on Friday.
He wasn't a part of it. I would say he could go, but he's gone to a lot of meetings. You know, he's been there for 3.5 years. Nothing happened.
He's at the kids table. Let's just be honest here. Yeah, you know, I don't know if Dom Giordano and Roe, when they do the family dinner, is there a kids table? I definitely think Zelensky is at the kids table still, Dan. I'm thinking that, you know, it's like, no, little Vlad, you got to sit at the kids table. We can't be at the grown-ups table. So he's going to have Trump, Putin, they meet. We still don't know the venue. We know that U.S. officials working with Russian officials aiming for this Friday. Pretty incredible when you think about trying to turn this around this quickly, to have this level of a meeting. But then which Alaskan city? I don't see that they've announced it. So I'm still going with Sitka just because, like, that's my favorite.
Why are you
but
so
I have no idea.
Sitka?
I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just,
a pretty city.
And, you know, so Trump, he's like, we want it to be beautiful. You know, you could just picture him because he wants the most picturesque, this beautiful city. Make sure that everything is stunning and gorgeous. That's what I think. But will it be another one? I don't know.
I just want that Alaskan cruise, Dawn. I'm so jealous.
I know. Well,
has Dom been on an Alaskan
cruise? Dom Giordano, have you and Ro, if you've never been on an Alaskan cruise, I know you're going to Sicily soon, but I'm just saying.
Oh, we were, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
The one thing that you have to worry about, the temperature was like 71, 72 every day, which is pretty
air
good.
Air conditioning, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
So we've been, you know, we pretty much care. We teed you up, Dom, because we pretty much carried the Trump news conference, the vast majority of it live. So everybody's primed.
Oh, yeah, Dawn. Thank you. So, yeah, a lot of Law and Order today. We'll get into that. Also, Latin America, not just Mexico, the target of the U.S. military, the drug cartels. And then Martina White is the biggest proponent of making the case that Judge Dugan can win. And I see no other alternative. Absolutely, that's where we're going.
I love it. The Dom Giordano Show starts right now.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.